Graphite core fire drove radioactive emissions for 20 days.
Bloody hell.
And then obviously what they did, obviously as you know or may not know, obviously when they did the firefighters, obviously the fire wasn't going out, the reactor wasn't kind of like cooling down or going off, it was radiation. Was when they start bringing in the helicopters,
yeah,
and start dropping stuff on there.
Yeah.
So they actually dropped about 5,000 tons of boron, lead, sand, clay, and dolomite. They dropped from the helicopters. But even remember, like, even when the helicopters got too close,
yeah,
because they're going out to drop it,
yeah,
but even they were getting so massively exposed to radiation.
Yeah, they were dead as well.
Yeah,
yeah, like pilots. Yeah, I remember seeing that. Oh, at some point, though, a few of them must have known they were going to their death.
Yeah.
They must have. The series captured the fear, didn't it? Going on from what you're about to say,
it
captured the fear. Because I watched that and you're just thinking, like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
And you must have been terrified. You must have been terrified. Being those firefighters, being those people like still working around the core, they're like, God, he just came around the corner when one of the main people was
walking
through and the stuff started happening to him. And he knew straight away then.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew they were done.
But yeah, you said about people, so two plant workers died instantly when it blew up.
Of course.
And at least 134 plant staff and emergency workers developed acute radiation syndromes with 28 dying within a few months. But they didn't actually evacuate Pripyat until April 27th.
Wow.
So you think it blew up in the morning on the 27th?
Yeah, okay.
1:23 in the morning.
Yeah.
You've gone, you've got your morning, you're waking up, you've gone waking up, you've got all day. So 24 hours plus.
How much of that's already in the atmosphere?
Until they actually started evacuating people, yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible when you think about it. Like, something nuclear, you put it out and it's blown up, put a fire out, or initial fire and stuff like that, but whatever's there in the ground, it's still emitting the radiation. You can't stop that. You can only control the measure.
It's scary, mate. Like, nuclear is scary. I think a lot of them now are built right close to the sea.
Yeah.
So, because obviously water is the main thing to cool reactors and stuff down. They built like massive tunnels at Hinkley Point. You can see them. And, like, that seawater is there waiting to go. If anything heats up,
Like
Hinkley Point is a sight to behold. I think it's the biggest building site in the world.
Have you been there when they've had the biggest crane?
It's there all the time.
It's still there all the time.
Car.
Yeah, big car.
Yeah. It's there. I was there last week, and to weigh it down, it's 20 shipping containers filled with concrete.
I know, yeah. Hello, and welcome to the Good Fellows podcast, a podcast where two mates discuss factual events for your entertainment. I'm Sean.
And I'm Clark. How's it going, dog?
It's going good. Yeah, another week.
Another episode.
And another beer will be coming out soon.
Oh, another beer and another talking point.
Another talking point today. Something a bit different today.
We'll
get into it in a minute. What a beautiful day.
It's been lush. It's heating back up again. We've had a great summer anyway, but...
It's been good. And especially, like, this weekend's good for people from Bristol, for ourselves, the Balloon Fiesta.
The Balloon Fiesta.
Literally came around Clark's a minute ago, and we just saw...
Like, balloons going overhead. There's usually 100 over the course of a weekend. They'll go up at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., and you get to see those balloons, which is it's quite an awesome thing. Bristol has, amongst many of its festivals, like, it's another cool one. And we've seen him work up from a bedroom up there and literally could hear like that.
Yeah.
We're like, whoa, and literally half our window was taken up with balloons.
I did see the it's JLL balloon crashed into the school.
Yeah, I know.
Which was...
Today, the UE one, I know, it was Fresh Air, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh Air, just a road over... got stuck in someone's garden or something. Had to deflate it and rescue it.
Wow.
Yeah. We saw it go down. We're like, it's going to crash.
Oh.
So, it's been nice. Nice weekend.
It's good. And we'll get into the episode in a minute. Before I start, I just want to remind everyone to follow us on all our socials.
Yeah, come on.
A like, follow, and subscribe.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, by now, just follow our LinkedIn on all our socials, and it will take to everywhere
you need
to go.
Our
Linktree, what I said.
LinkedIn. All right. We could get a LinkedIn.
Last week it was Flayed. This week is LinkedIn. What's going to be next week? Right. Quickly moving on.
Yeah.
Sphere.
Yeah. Oh.
I've gone back to a country of one of our favourite countries.
About time. I bet you're going to say Belgium.
No.
Germany.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I've gone back to a type of beer bottle you like as well. One of the favourites. Yeah, maybe.
Culpa ASMR.
I have chilled an even extra cold this time.
Hallelujah.
So I present to you, dog, a bottle.
Glasses.
Oh, no. Do you want me to go get them?
Wait, dog, sorry.
Bottle of lichen.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'll talk about this when I get them. They're just over there on the table. Oh, wow. This bottle looks amazing. So this is a lichen. L-E-I-K-E-I-M. A premium pills, 4.9% from... mate, this bottle looks lush.
It is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. I've got the boxes.
Cheers, brother.
Well, like him, like you said, it's a lovely, it's a quite simple picture. I know a couple of like, that looks like almost like artichokes, don't it? But it's not. It's like some sort of berry or something on it.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
4.9%. It's a nice brown bottle. The pop top. Oh, mine didn't do it as much. Right, we've got to make sure we've slated on my porn recently.
Yeah, I'm not having that happen again.
But pouring, lovely, lovely golden colour on this one.
Very crisp. I believe this is going to be a lovely beer.
Lovely carbonation on there.
Yeah, lovely hops, yeast, barley, malt, sugar.
Eggs.
Eggs. I've redeemed myself.
Yeah, that is a lovely...
That bottle is amazing.
So, yeah, we've got the lichen. So, before we have our first sip, I'll give you some facts.
Very nice gold, crisp colour, as you can see. It looks lush.
So, lichen is a private brewery in Germany.
Ooh.
Owned and operated by the same family for five generations.
Wow.
Founded in 1887.
Wow.
The signature flip top bottles.
They do.
Well
just,
known for it.
They're just, it feels it's like quality.
Different. Yeah, it does.
Different. Flip top.
It's actually, particularly for its premium pills, they're one of the largest producers of beer in flip top bottles in Germany.
Wow.
Didn't know that. There's loads of different bottles. Obviously, it's won loads of awards.
Doesn't smell too heavy. I got a very good feeling about this. It's cheers, dog, and cheers to you.
One.
Oh my god!
Nah, it is.
I don't know how you do it, Germany. Look at me.
Yeah, I had a massive big first sip on that one as well.
Good lord! I would say straight away that is crisp. Light, even though it's a 4.9, but mate, it just hits your throat and you're just thinking,
oh, that's just like I needed that as well.
Yeah,
it's like
me too.
Honestly, that is a beautiful, beautiful tasting beer. We will give our rating of it roughly halfway through the episode.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, that's right up there for me. The Germans, it's just something about them,
it's different every time, it's different, isn't it?
Every time, yeah, every German beer we've had has been different. But fucking amazing. How would you pronounce it?
Lichen or lichen?
Lichen.
Might be lichen.
Might be lichen. Either way, it's lush.
Obviously, shout out to Beers of Europe again for providing us with these beers.
As always, you're brilliant. We're so glad to be a part of the Beers of Europe team. Our code will be coming soon. Keep saying it, it'll happen.
manifest it.
But
follow
our link.
It's good. So, into today's episode. Okay. Before we even talk about it, I want to say the 26th of April, 1986, at 1:23 a.m. if you're not aware of what happened, reactor 4 at a Chernobyl nuclear power plant experienced a catastrophic power surge and explosion.
Ooh.
In the hours that followed, fire crews rushed into a city but didn't know what they were walking into.
No.
And they would never look at a nuclear risk the same way again.
Tonight, we go through the step-by-step of what happened and what went wrong, the heroes and the failures, and how the catastrophe has been turned into a drama.
Yeah.
It was a catastrophe.
It was a catastrophe. When we say drama, we're touching on the series, which has come out. There's been some adaptations of the films.
Like video games, Call of Duty, and stuff like that. But it's obviously a very real and serious thing that happened.
But how do those type of things help the public understand?
Yeah,
it did happen. Because, you know, when it came out and when it happened, you know.
No.
The government dealt with it, publicised, you know, the facts, and all that.
I think stuff as well, it's such a, everyone knows about Chernobyl if, like, you're over, say, what, 20, 25 years old, like, you've heard of it, you've seen it or something, but also it's just like, you've all seen the apartment building, it's the whole area where it's just...
The Ferris
wheel. Everything's there, the Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
The swimming pool. Everything's there. Everything's left, stopped in time, and just greenery and grass and moss growing everywhere.
Yeah,
so eerie.
Yeah, and that's happened a couple of times, like when Hiroshima went off, wasn't it, in Japan? The place
Hiroshima that, and
like been abandoned and stuff. And abandoned
something.
Yeah,
Fukushima.
Fukushima. Yeah, yeah.
It's Fukushima. By the way,
but yeah, so there's other places from that, but obviously in terms of those people. You know, we just want to chat about I've kind of got written out what we could talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you can highlight like some talking points and we'll just go through it.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So what actually happened on this fateful night? So actually, the day before, they were actually meant to be doing some sort of test.
It was a sod's law sort of thing.
Yeah. It was they were trying to shut it down for maintenance.
Yeah.
Which is what they were trying to do. The engineers kind of planned the test.
Yeah.
Whether the slowing of the turbine could power cooling pumps.
Yeah, that's right.
And sort of backup generators started.
Yeah.
It was quite a routine thing. Apparently, I think they, like, tried it before.
Yeah.
Or something.
And they had, like, a small...
Yeah, well, they didn't really get the data they wanted out of it. Like, it wasn't really telling them the stuff on there.
But there was nothing for them to believe it could cause something catastrophic.
No.
That's
the idea. No, exactly. Yeah. But then, obviously, what happened was, obviously, on that... So this is obviously the day before. There was a... And you said, it literally just said then, like the simplest thing, there wasn't any coordination between teams.
Yeah.
So the team which were gone off from like the day shift, whatever, to the night shift.
Just didn't update them.
The safer risks were kind of underestimated in terms of what they had to do.
Yeah.
And emergency cooling system was shut off.
Yeah.
So then what happened then, obviously, there was a delay in the shutdown, and operator error dropped the reactor output to dangerously low levels, which made it unstable to the RBMK, which is the reactor, core reactor.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later on what that is.
Yeah.
Unstable due to the RBMK's positive void coefficient.
Yeah, I know. I know, like, a lot of that for a lot of people listening to NASA is like, it's over your head. So obviously it's
Very
high and technical.
Yeah, when I went into it, it was quite up. Basically, the core went down. So obviously there were some unsafe recovery attempts. They obviously took to try and raise the power. Operators disabled automatic controls.
Yeah.
Withdrew nearly all controlled rods far below the safe minimum and bypassed the key safety trips.
Yeah, and wasn't it for like a period of time, like it just wasn't acknowledged at all. Like I remember seeing like there were so many people in and around working, but no one were doing some checks or something, like you said. Or like you said, something wasn't passed on. It was just like, had it been caught or something, it could have stopped a lot.
Yeah, well, I think when the power levels went down or something, like they were obviously trying to, I think someone who was ever down by the reactor was trying to get the information back up to like the control
room. Yeah, yeah.
I remember watching the series.
Yeah.
And how they
got it. The best series of all time, by the way, didn't it?
Unbelievable.
On IMDb.
Yeah. And then obviously, like you said, it obviously caused it to catastrophically fail. And obviously have that. So obviously, like I said, there's loads more stuff kind of happened itself, and then the explosion itself.
Wow.
123. So what happened really was it was a steam explosion and a second blast, which they said was possibly hydrogen.
Hydrogen, yeah.
Destroyed the reactor core and the building roof.
And the core is massive.
Yeah, so it was a massive explosion went off.
Yeah.
Over 100 firefighters obviously battled the fires on the turbine hall and reactor roofs.
Much respect to them. And they were going in there at some point, like, not even realizing what was going on.
Yeah, they had, what was it? There was a blue kind of like flame which was going off, which was one of the reactions and stuff. And I think
And they were all getting like their metallic taste.
Yeah, the metallic taste.
Metallic taste.
And they didn't know why.
It's
just
like, this doesn't feel right on the series, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because they've battled kind of other bits before, like nuclear kind of things like that. They make obviously a reactor like the, you know, the RBMK out there. Yeah, so they, like I said, they went in there blind, didn't even know what they were going into.
Like that radiation, like we were right there, like that amount of radiation.
Well, it's literally lethal
done.
Radiation doses. Yeah.
You're done and dusted.
You know, as soon as you go in there, you're taking that on, you're just lethal.
Yeah. A lot of them was within months, the ones who didn't die straight away, weren't it?
Yeah.
And then some were a bit further away, years later.
Because I think it did stuff like, one of the chemicals that came off, it was like the iodine or something, I think it was, the iodine and it was something else. And basically, it's like thyroid.
Yeah.
It's like thyroid cancers and stuff like that, I think it was. And that's what, basically, after a couple of months, that's what they were killing off with.
Let's see.
But yeah, the graphite core fire drove radioactive emissions for 20 days.
Fuck.
Bloody
hell.
And then obviously what they did, obviously as you know or may not know, obviously when they did the firefighters, obviously the fire wasn't going out, the reactor wasn't kind of like cooling down or going off with radiation. Was when they start bringing in the helicopters and start dropping stuff on there.
Yeah.
So they actually dropped about 5,000 tons of boron, lead, sand, clay, and dolomite with what they dropped from the helicopters. Even when the helicopters got too close, because they're going there to drop it, but even they were getting so massively exposed to radiation.
Yeah, they were done as well. Like the pilots were, I remember seeing that. Oh, and at some point now, a few of them must have known they were going to their death.
Yeah.
They must have.
But I think what happened as well, when they were dropping the stuff down, from the helicopters, even though some of it did land on the kind of reactor and absorb radiation, what they were trying to do, trying to stop the radiation coming out.
Yeah.
It actually kind of worsened the heating of it as well when it missed.
Yeah, no, of course it would.
So it missed, obviously, where was it landing? Obviously, reactions and stuff, and obviously what it was doing, it was obviously heating up more, which obviously for this type of reactor.
Yeah, it's just made what, it not worse. What you want, yeah.
So it's just like a whole thing.
Unfathomable, mate. Like, being in that situation, looking up, seeing the reactor, trying to fight it, and getting these weird feelings and things happening to you.
Yeah.
Much respect, rest in peace, or rest in power to them.
Yeah. So it wasn't actually until about the 9th of May that the fire was out.
Oh, 2 weeks, pretty much.
That's a long time. Then
2 weeks!
That's when they managed to put that concrete slab on. With cooling systems, which was built under the reactor to block the melted fuel from reaching groundwater. Because obviously what happened as well is they said there was like corium kind of product pooled at the bottom of kind of the lower shield of the reactor.
To heat it?
This was, possibly producing additional radioactive steam surge.
Yeah, exactly.
That was what happened. And then basically all it was is later, if you watch the series and stuff, obviously they had the course investigations going on to try and find out what happened.
Blaming them.
And it was operator errors and, design flaws in the reactor core.
Yeah. Well, it's operator errors first, isn't it? Because had information not been passed on, the stuff wouldn't have happened. But
exactly.
When the stuff happened, it wasn't the reactor or whatever core wasn't able to deal with it. But it was the operators, really.
Yeah.
Not passing the information off. Whew.
Yeah, and could you imagine, like, I can get into a bit about what happened with the core and that in a minute and stuff, but so that's kind of like very high level of the events that happened. You know, obviously this happened, error, it obviously overheated, it blew up, fires went in, they tried to suppress it, blah, blah, blah. It obviously took them like almost 2 weeks to get down.
Yeah.
That initial explosion, if you're living in like Pripyat, which is the closest city to it.
Yeah.
Middle of night, 1:23. And you see it in the series, I know that, and it's obviously a dramatized series now, but I think what happened, I think the good thing, this is what I said about it being put into drama and stuff now, is it helps visualize it.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean? So, like, you might have, like, back in 1986, you might have understood and read from the news,
it's
gone off, and you see, like, photos from afar and all this stuff. But by then getting the facts and then obviously trying to, like, recreate it, and this is what actually probably would have happened and looked like for the people who were nearest to it.
The series captured the fear, didn't it? Going on from what you were about to say,
it captured
the fear. Because I watched that and you're just thinking, like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Like, you must have been terrified. Oh. You must have been terrified. Being those firefighters, being those people, like, still working around the core. Remember that guy who just came around the corner when one of the main people was walking through and the stuff started happening to him. And he knew straight away then.
Yeah, exactly.
He knew they were done.
You could do it. Obviously, like, when they turn in the patrol center and you can see all the, like, temperature rise and everything going on, and they're like, shut it down, it's like, it's too late for that.
Then you know, like, you've got to get the fuck out of there, but you're done. You're done.
So what could they do to try and minimize it?
Yeah.
And I think they underestimated that, and then obviously when the explosion went off, it was like, oh my God, like, they got, and I think that's where they under, the design flaws of RBMK.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, it'd be fine, we can just... And I was like, actually, no.
No.
it's not.
You have no idea, like, the power of nuclear.
But I said, when you said, like, the firefighters, and you're watching the series, and it's like one of the firefighters, and he wakes up and he's there, and it's kind of flat, and there's misses in the kind of apartment blocks.
Yeah.
And he hear it, and you see it, and he's like, oh, I've got to go.
I know.
But all he sees is just, like, oh, there's a fire, I've gone up and up there. Like, oh, okay, like, I just got to go, I'm a firefighter, I can go and handle this.
Yeah.
And he said, you turn up. And you probably go door and play there.
Yeah.
You turn up, like, oh, crap, there's a fire there.
Do that. Bang, get the procedure, do that. Right,
you've got get the hose out, bang, do this.
Yeah.
And all that, try and minimize the fire.
And that was the scene, wasn't it? And then they started tasting the metal going through, and they started seeing some of the engineers and that dying or dead.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not a normal fire. 2 weeks to put out.
No.
So they're putting it out non-stop for 2 weeks at that exposure. Fuck.
Yeah. It's just like I said, you're just walking into your death, isn't it?
Yeah, you are.
So
scary.
Well, no, I know. So I looked up what an RBMK is, reactor. Okay. And I've even simplified it as well to understand how it kind of went off, what it means to us. So the RBMK was a type of nuclear reactor. Okay. They used graphite to slow neutrons and water to cool the core.
Yeah.
Okay. It had a dangerous quirk, though. If bubbles formed in the cooling water, the reaction could speed up instead of slowing down.
Wow.
Which they call a positive void coefficient.
Right.
Combined with a flaw in the design rod's design.
Yeah.
All the metal rods and everything like that.
Yeah.
This meant that a low power reactor could quickly become unstable.
Oh, my
God. During the Chernobyl test, operator actions and design weaknesses together caused a runaway reactor. So, kind of, what does that mean a little bit more? Because I was like, what did that mean?
Yeah.
It kind of basically, what I find it online at, but basically says, like, think of the reactor like a big pot of boiling water on a stove.
Yeah.
So the water in the pot is kept at controlled boil, just the right amount of heat from the stove.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're that's the nuclear fission equivalent.
Yeah.
If you suddenly remove a lot of cold water from the pot, the remaining hot water instantly boils harder.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're taking a lot more out of that water. You've got less
water. It's going to boil more because it doesn't need to heat up the core.
It's flashing into steam. Okay. Yeah. In most reactor designs, basically more steam equals less reactivity because steam doesn't slow neutrons well. So the Chernobyl reaction slows down a built in safety effect.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a normal reactor. But the RBMK design, the physics reverse in certain conditions. So steam bubbles, voids, increased reactivity instead of decreasing it. So when the cooling water was lost or turned into steam, chain reaction actually sped up, making the reactor even hotter, which made even more steam, creating a runaway feedback loop.
Does it say how quickly, like in hours or days, that it could speed the process up for?
It was in like minutes, wasn't it? When you watch it, because when it actually happened,
it
was on that night, wasn't it?
So they tested it on the
25th on the night time, they handed over. Can't remember what hour it was, but it's like, it went off at 1:26, Oh, no, 123, wasn't it? I said.
123.
I swear it was like, when watching the series, it was like 11 or 10 o'clock that started the whole thing, and they were trying to do the maintenance kind of thing, stuff like that.
So within 12 hours, it's done.
But there was obviously a massive design flaw in that reactor compared to normal reactors.
Of course.
Which, like I said, they obviously didn't know, which is why it obviously happened. So when they kind of responded to it, like we said, we just said about the firefighters, they're actually there within minutes, mind.
Yeah.
Not fire, I suppose, from Prick out where they had to go, obviously. Yeah. That's pretty good. But when you think about other emergency situations we get now, sometimes, oh, how long did it take the police, the ambulance to get in? It's like, from 10 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I get that, because if you've got to drive 10 to 20 minutes, but yeah, they were there within minutes, which you think is pretty impressive for your boat.
Yeah.
But yeah, you said about people. So two plant workers died instantly when it blew up.
Of course.
And at least 134 plant staff and emergency workers developed acute radiation syndromes within, and with 28 dying within a few months. But they didn't actually evacuate Pripyat until April 27th.
Wow.
So you think it blew up in the morning on the 26th?
Yeah. Okay.
1:23 in the morning.
Yeah.
You've gone, you've got your morning, you're waking up.
Yeah.
Everyone's waking up. You've got all day, so 24 hours plus.
How much of that's already in the atmosphere?
Until they actually started evacuating people, yeah.
Yeah. That's why there are stories of people, like hundreds of people dying here as there.
Yeah. Well, they moved roughly 45,000 residents initially.
Yeah.
And then with up to 100,000 to 300,000 people later relocated.
And like it says, Uncle G. This place was once
300,000 people looking at a ghost town.
That's a ghost town, and it literally is a ghost town.
Yeah.
To this day, you can't even fully go in there.
No.
You've got to have like certain hazmat suits and stuff.
Yeah. There's like a 30-mile. Is it 30-mile? I think it's like a 30-mile radius, like exclusion zone. Something like that, I think it is. Is it 30 miles? I've got it somewhere. No, sorry, it's 30. Right there. Just see that. 30 kilometers. Area of exclusion zone.
But still.
So still a lot. And obviously there's only certain people can go so far. You obviously got to have permission of the government and anything like that. It's not something like anyone
can.
And like I said, we talked about it on one of the episodes a while ago when I showed you, they've now built, I think it was done in like 2016 or something like that, was that massive enclosure now over the reactors.
Because remember you said
it's still emitting for like 100 years or more? Yeah.
But now they've stopped.
They've put that massive enclosure on there. So obviously when it went up, when it blew up, they had like that concrete kind of enclosure and they kind of cooled it down a bit in there. And then they've now finally put that massive mega structure. But remember, it was like bigger than Wembley, wasn't it?
Wembley, that's
They've put that over it now.
So now no more radiation can get past those walls.
No, that's the idea. But yeah, it's to control it. While it's on
burn. Jesus.
You think that's incredible when you think about it. Like, something nuclear, you put it out and it's blown up, put a fire out, or initial fire and stuff like that, but whatever's there in the ground, it's still emitting the radiation. You can't stop that. You can only control the measures.
It's scary, mate. Nuclear is scary.
But there's good and bad of nuclear as well, mind.
Oh, of course. Well, like I myself worked on Hinkley Point multiple times. That's going to power out 19% of the whole country.
Yeah.
Like, great.
But I think, well, obviously, like stuff like that, Hinkley and other places, if they've learned from the Chernobyl reactor,
they have,
so the reactors they have now are completely different.
Yeah.
They're not going to have the same mistakes as they have now.
And, like, I think a lot of them now are built right close to the sea.
Yeah.
So, because obviously water is the main thing to cool the reactors and stuff down. They've built, like, massive tunnels at Hinkley Point. You can see them. Like, that seawater is there waiting to go. If anything heats up,
I mean, there's just safety measures they put in place now.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, Hinkley Point is a sight to behold. I think it's the biggest building site in the world.
Have you been there when they've had the biggest crane?
It's there all the time.
It's still there all the time. Yeah, big car.
Yeah, it's there. I was there last week, and to weigh it down, it's 20 shipping containers filled with concrete.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Filled with concrete. And when you see it, you're like, oh, I'll do it. But I was really up close to it, and I was probably about 100 metres away, and you're like, fuck me. It's massive.
Huge, yeah.
To pick up that big dune. They did that lift like a few weeks
ago. Yeah, they did, yeah.
Yeah.
I, I mean, yeah, you need something bigger, but can you imagine that just like snapped and fell?
I know. Let me just quickly talk. I'll show you because I
brown bread.
Yeah, you would be.
But you, yeah, if you don't, if you've not, if anyone listens to this and stuff, you might not be into looking at cranes. But in terms of feat of engineering, it's pretty exciting. If you see a normal tower crane, because wherever you are and you live in UK, Europe,
look at that there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Wherever you live, like Europe, America, you could be anywhere in the world. You see a normal tower crane, and they're big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been up tower cranes. You've been up them before.
Yeah.
But when you compare it to what we're talking about, Big Carl, which is the biggest one in the world, it just dwarfs them.
It dwarfs them. It's like... Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It's the yellow one.
Yeah.
But the picture doesn't do it justice. Like, you wouldn't be able to see that. Yeah. It's not just like, see the shipping containers?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Honestly, they're like, well, there's like, it's more than 10, because that is at the roof level I'm at two stories high.
Yeah, it goes down, yeah.
But I'd probably say it's probably about 20 or 30. And 20 or 30 containers, it's, look at how thick it is. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. Oh, you might do, actually. But it's massive.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's fucking huge. And that dome there, and then that dome there. Oh, mate. And it's like precise.
Mm.
Amazing. Going off topic. Not that much.
No, it's not. It's off topic. I was going to get to it later on.
Yeah. But it's phenomenal.
Changed. Yeah.
Phenomenal. We've got like 9,000 people on that site now.
I mean, from an employment point of view, it's great when they do these things.
I mean, and like that, and because they're driving it on longer, like people are like, oh, it drags it on longer. It's annoying from, I guess, a lot of people's point of view to power stuff.
Yeah.
But from an employment point of view, they pay really well there, apparently.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, so that's like the newer kind of thing and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah, kind of other things I did, like you said, we said, what did a firefighter kind of see on a roof? Like, when it got there, we kind of talked about, you said about metallic taste.
Yeah.
So they had radiation meters, and they gave false readings as well.
That's right.
So the meters maxed out far below actual levels.
Yeah.
So high-range devices weren't available, so crews thought exposures were normal.
That's right, because isn't that not like the thing where it does the clicking? Like,
yeah.
Like that. And that's right. I remember on the series, it was not showing what it was.
Geiger meter? Is it
coming through? It might be. But I remember it's that clicking noise.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember that. Oh.
And you think it was, I know, it's The Last of Us. You haven't seen that yet, have you?
No, or clicking noise, or that Predator.
True.
No. Oh, rubbish film.
So, and the other thing was, like, how did it, obviously, because it was a Soviet, you know, Union, but how did the Soviet chain of command affect the response? So, centralized control, delayed evacuations and emergency measures. Officials feared acting without Moscow's approval.
Yeah.
So delegation.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, they're like, scared, weren't they?
What do we need to do? Like, you have to wait for approval.
Yeah.
Which is actually the reason why you've delayed evacuating all the people. Yeah, you've defended the most by it. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know.
Not great.
No. And I suppose from now, you
that's still Cold War time, isn't it?
Yeah. So the aftermath then, all right? So I kind of spit this out. So when the reactor exploded, it released, as we said, a huge amount of radioactive materials into the air. Okay, the most important were iodine-131, as they call it, and cesium-137. Right, I'm not an expert.
Cesium.
I just googled this out. So iodine-131 can build up in people's thyroid glands.
Yeah,
okay, that's what I was saying. So especially in children, causing many thyroid cancers later on. People are also exposed to drinking contaminated milk.
All right.
So I suppose what I said, radiation into the cows, produce the milk, and then drink it that way.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, or a bit getting into...
Well, like what they used to milk the cows with?
Yeah, like all the water streams for the cows into the factories and stuff.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Some of that. It might be a bit, but
there must have been a lot of cows that would have been affected then.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I wanted to, I didn't know what this meant, but I wanted to put this word in because I want to try it. So it said, right, about 70 petabecquerels, of cesium-131 spread across the Soviet Union and Europe. I don't know what it means, but to stop the radiation, workers dropped sand, we said that, boron, the concrete sarcophagus around it in 1986 to trap the radiation. In 2016, what I said earlier,
Place
it in a near strong set called the new safe confinement.
2016?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a while there.
Yeah, new safe confinement.
9 years. 2016, don't know about you, but it feels like a few years ago, and they're like, it's fucking 9 years ago.
What was it doing in 2016? I was working.
All right, mate.
No, sorry. Yeah, when you think, you want to think, what was I doing? What was it?
Well, 2017, I got married.
Yeah, but you're trying to think, like, 2016, what did I do in that year which stood out? Like, I can't think of anything at the moment, personally. As a personal thing, because I had no marriages, or children were born in different years.
No marriages.
My children were born in different years.
Yeah, Mason was
2017.
2017.
Yeah.
Claire was heavily pregnant at the wedding.
Yeah, but...
I'm going to hear.
Yeah, so, you know that's, I know it's been on top, but you never know, you say, oh, yeah, that happened in 2012, or that happened in 2007.
Yeah, I could picture like, a moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You think, oh, I know what I did on you.
I was travelling in Thailand in 2012.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I was, like, graduating from Newry.
Yeah.
And I got my first job in construction from university in 2012. When I joined Moneydesk, yeah.
Wow.
You know, and if you said 2007, I started uni. 2005, met Claire. Like, you know, you can go through different years, like you said, and it's like, oh, I know that, but 2016 is nothing to me.
Yeah.
But, like, if you...
If someone would be like, I can't believe you forgot this.
Yeah, there will be. There'll be something like that. Like I said, about 30, 50 people died soon after accident from the high radiation.
Yeah.
Which is mostly the firefighters and the plant workers. So the cleanup. So I said earlier, the Chernobyl exclusion zone is a 30-kilometer area around the damaged reactor that was evacuated after disaster.
Yeah.
And remains, okay, mostly off-limits to the public.
Yeah.
Mostly off-limits, though.
Yeah.
Today is a unique place where nature has surprisingly bounced back. So wild animals like wolves, bears, and bison roam freely, and forests have grown dense again.
Yeah, amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Amazing.
You can actually get controlled tours. So I was going to talk about this. So I don't know if you've seen. Did you ever see a film called Chernobyl Diaries? It came out in 2012. I don't know if we watched it together.
I'm sure. I feel like I have watched that.
It's like a bloke and a woman.
Is that
and
a bear? Like,
no, there's like a group of people. And they speak.
Sure,
they speak to like a tour guide kind of guy, and it's like, ah, I can take you through a back route into Pripyat. So they get into like this kind of like mini bus thing, and they obviously go into Pripyat, and they're walking around. They're going around like the apartment blocks and all this stuff, and then like some funny things happen at night time. You hear like noises.
Yeah,
basically, it's a horror movie.
Yeah, right? All right.
And they try to say that people who've been or patients who've been exposed to radiation and stuff now.
Zombified?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So that was like it's like an extreme element of like, oh, the radiation's done this to people. Yeah. Like films, never movies have adapted things like that before.
Yeah, but it really just kills you.
Yeah. I mean, it got a lot of bad ratings in like.
Did it?
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes. I know Rotten Tomatoes. I didn't always believe it.
No.
Other critics and even like the public were like, it's all right, but.
Really?
Concept
sounds good.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it. It was a bit like, there's a few suspense moments. You're like, oh shit, like they were at, you know what it was? It's like, the fitness bit of my worst thing. Is they're inside like the minibus. And you know when you're trying to look out, it's pitch black. And you can't see nothing.
Yeah.
But you can imagine if you had your torch light on, anyone outside just like, oh, I can see you.
Yeah.
See exactly what you're doing.
Yeah,
And it's like that moment, and then like they hit the window, and they're like, oh, you know, I think that's like, the worst.
Yeah, it's like not knowing. I'd rather be able to see whatever I'm facing. Mm. Like not just
So yeah. So that's kind of you can still get controlled tours, which is where I was kind of going on that one. The damage reactor says still being cleaned up. Still being cleaned up, Mike.
It's unbelievable.
The slow process, it's gonna take decades.
Yeah, yeah.
So like I said, it's been replaced now by the new sarcophagus. So before we go into like the TVs and movies, I think we're gonna have a look at a few clips potentially and talk about some of the games and stuff, Matt.
Sure.
I think we're about halfway through the episode. Do you want to give the like him or leak him?
Yeah. Let's dance with the devil. The devil is here.
What did we have last time? Veru. That was the funky Estonian beer, which I love.
Yeah, it was just all right. The bottle,
well, I like the bottle.
Amazing.
So
how many did you get at 8.1?
I don't know. I felt like
that's not far off.
You know what?
Beer.
I think I've got to a point.
Yeah.
Whereas no matter what beer we have now, because we've always been 8 or 9.
Yeah.
That feels like the low point for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't go. Oh, that's a 5.
Yeah.
That's a 5.
No. Nothing's been like a 5 or a 6.
No, not that bad. But you know what I mean? I've got to that point. I'm a bit like, oh, I didn't get any lower.
I think that might be my lowest. It's still a 7.3.
Yeah.
But this is harder.
Oh, so
I'm going for straight off the bat. 8.89.
Wow, that's
it's out there. Phenomenal, great first taste. very crisp, very
good carbonation, not too strong, not too much like Matt.
No,
it had a good head on it.
Good head,
lovely
bottle.
Yeah,
session for sure. It's up there as the Deutsch are with their beers.
I'm gonna go 8.7.
Oh,
still
okay,
good.
Okay,
pretty high.
Pretty disrespectful, right?
No, I did enjoy that.
Delicious.
Can always tell when we've enjoyed a beer. We always finished it before.
Yeah.
Give the rating.
Yeah.
Sometimes I, it's a
I was
like,
there straight off the bat.
Yeah.
1887. Keep up the good work.
So yeah, if you want to get yourself any of these beers and didn't have to take our review for it, use our affiliate code link on our
Linktree,
not LinkedIn. Yeah. Beers of Europe, and buy yourself some of those Like It or Leekums, as we would say.
Like Him.
Plus some of the other beers we've actually tasted. They've all been brilliant. We highly recommend pretty much most of them.
I would still even like recommend the Viru just to see the bottle and that.
And have it, yeah, and try it in your collection. Yeah.
Yeah. So, what? Did you want to have a look at like a clip? Just should I do like the trailer just so people can see sort of like the.
It might help with the. Yeah.
Yeah,
it might help with the show. So basically, if you haven't seen it, I'm not going. This will be spoilers alert, but it was done in 2019. So apologies.
And that,
yeah, 2019. It was a 5-episode drama, which was done. It was part of the HBO series.
Well, voted the best series or film on IMDb.
Ever. Well, like just 10. Yeah,
10 rating.
I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, that top one there, isn't it?
Yes, that one there. Just give me a second.
That's right. I have to share the screen.
Yeah.
Well, the good we did. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that to them, justice was done. See, a just world is a sane world. There was nothing sane about Chernobyl.
I'm pleased to report that the situation in Chernobyl is stable. In terms of radiation, I'm told it's the equivalent of a chest X-ray.
No. Chernobyl is on fire. And every atom of uranium is like a bullet, penetrating everything in its path. Metal, concrete, flesh. Now Chernobyl holds over 3 trillion of these bullets. Some of them will not stop firing for 50,000 years.
Tell me how to put it out.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
Oh my, come on, you guys.
So what's going on, Madam Rumor?
So hello, Sean.
Hello.
Hello. That TV too, okay.
Wow.
I love you, Lars.
I love you, Lars. Love you.
Right.
Sorry about that. Second week in a row. Right.
Dealing with something that has never occurred on this planet before.
Cut the phone lines. Contain the spread of misinformation.
What will happen to our boys?
The pain is unimaginable. In 3 days to 3 weeks, you're dead.
You can see him, but you cannot touch him. Do you understand?
What happened on the night of the accident?
Asking the right question will give you the truth. There is no truth.
What happened there? What happened after? All of it. All of it.
area and they're encasing them in concrete in the ground to contain the radiation. Mm. They were still moving from their body. Like, honestly, that was a great trailer. And it just shows some of the things we've been trying to talk about. Yeah. And like I said, it was...
It doesn't do it justice how insanely amazing the series is.
Yeah.
But how insanely real that fucking was.
Yeah, and like I said, anything like that, when they kind of put things in there, like visualizing it, it's a lot better.
Yes, it is.
I've always been like that. Like, when I first went to construction, I couldn't visualize certain things and sort of say, oh, I'll draw it like this or think of it like that. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I can actually understand it now. Mm-hmm. And it's like sometimes when you get it, like I said, you saw it now, it said like, you know, limit the spread of misinformation, like cut the phone lines, like the government and all that. And you didn't know what they were, we weren't around in 1986, but what they were putting out into the world, what how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know my drama, but a guy's like, oh, that's equivalent to a chest x-ray. Yeah. And he's like, no, it's burning. You know, so when you can, if you had that back in the 80s and 90s and you'd be like, oh, okay, that's what happened.
Yeah.
But then like somebody comes out and visualizes it for you.
Yeah, it's that, you're makes like, it that much more serious.
You're like, oh my God, I could imagine what people went through and this and how bad it was.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see a documentary of like people now, like, where do they move to? Where do they go? I guess it's still Soviet Union, because there was a lot of places they could have gone to.
Yeah.
But I bet Russia wouldn't have been like, oh, come to Russia.
No.
I bet they wouldn't have. I don't know, but I would just assume Soviet Russia would be like, you know, the other states.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right on that. It'd be interesting to know what happened to people who got relocated. And if they were affected even small doses of radiation.
Yeah.
And how it's affected their lives and stuff, and that obviously be pretty interesting.
Yeah,
but it's good to know that, like I said, it's now kind of regrown like those animals there.
Oh, it's crazy, that is.
And then they encased it now.
Yeah,
you know, so it's always stuff on that.
Yeah.
So the series aside, there were a couple of other disasters, nuclear reactor disasters. So I wanted to kind of talk about. So one of them was the Fukushima Daiichi, Japan, Fukushima. 2011. So this, I was on about when the nuclear the bomb went off, but this was off. So this reactor was called a boiling water reactor, BWR, so they call in the terms. So it caused a 9.0 magnitude earthquake, and a tsunami cut off power and cooling systems. This is 2011, man. I remember it, but I was like that. So the impact... Core meltdowns in 3 reactors, hydrogen explosion, significant radioactive released into the air and ocean, no immediate radiation deaths, but large evacuation and long-term contamination. The legacy of that is kind of Japan shut down most nuclear plants for years after this, and there was a struggle with tsunami and power loss defenses are now standard.
Yeah, so that's right, because they didn't have any of that. But now, I see the documentary on that. Now they've got like tsunami defense and everything.
Yeah.
Which
is fair.
You get earthquakes a lot anyway, Japan.
Did you see the one which went off just off the coast of Russia the other, last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know.
But it didn't cause any kind of tsunami kind of
thing. We've got defenses now.
Yeah. Well, did you see, what was the film which it did on that tsunami which went off, the big one? They did the film on it, didn't they?
Like the World Ends?
No, it was like based on a real tsunami, wasn't it, I think?
What, Thailand?
Was it that one?
Thailand.
There's a film with a few actors. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, it's the Thailand. It's the tsunami. Oh, Ewan McGregor.
Yes.
It was the Thailand tsunami.
Yeah.
And that, like,
Because when you just... I was just talking tsunami.
Sienna Miller?
I can't remember.
The young Tom Holland. He's the boy.
But if you're there and you're on the beach, right?
Oh, my
God. And you just start seeing the water come back.
Sucked out.
I'd be like...
I'd be gone. I'd be gone.
Now, what would be your first kind of thing? Because I've looked at it and I'm like, they say get to high ground as possible. Because if that water comes back in, it's just going to like flood. You're not going to... Unfortunately, I'm diverting. My brain works.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a week... Well, like last month, you know, when the floods went off in America?
Yeah.
Around F camp?
Yeah.
And there were kids there, like 8, 10 years old, and they'd been killed.
Yeah.
But the flood, the strength of the water, which people don't really understand, the strength of water carrying those young kids,
yeah,
there's nothing you can do.
Nothing.
You're underneath it.
Yeah.
You can't fight your way to the top.
No, you don't.
You're done, unfortunately.
So it's powerful force,
and that's what would happen with tsunami. So it's like, right, get to high ground, because if you're down there and I walk up there, you're done. You're not going to swim to the top. You're there.
Hundreds of thousands died, didn't they?
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands.
But as soon as that walk goes out, I'd be like, I'm gone.
High ground. Yeah, I'd be gone on high ground. Yeah.
That's the only thing you've got, because there's only so far you can go before it comes in.
Yeah.
Like, you could jump in a car and try and...
Well, you saw, like, on videos, people who are 2 stories up, they're fine. But if you're not, you are fucking dead.
Yeah, right.
You still have people like walking along the beach as they can see a massive wave come in. But your self-awareness...
Yeah. It was like when they say, like you said, earthquakes. Like, earthquakes, and they say get underneath your tables and stuff and all that.
Yeah.
With the collapses.
Yeah.
You might be protected. And they said there's been a lot of earthquakes.
Yeah, well, that's why a lot of, almost all American homes have, like, basements and stuff, don't they?
Tornadoes, hurricanes. Yeah. They get wiped a lot in America, don't they?
Yeah.
So there's another one, a bit older, 1979. So actually before Chernobyl, Three Mile Island in USA. So it was a pressurized water reactor. So it's slightly different to the Japan one. The cause, equipment failure and operator error led to partial core meltdown.
Cool.
The impact, it was minimal radioactive releases. There was no direct deaths, but massive public fear and policy changes in US nuclear regulation.
Whoa.
And of the legacy, U.S. nuclear industry slowed growth.
Yeah.
Focus shifted to training and human factors engineering.
Yeah.
Which leads me on into the changes. So the kind of stuff which has happened since Chernobyl and the changes which have been made around the world because of it.
Yeah.
Or in stuff and that. So in terms of passive safety systems, modern reactors now use gravity, convection, and pressure to cool the cores.
That's right.
Without operator action or external power.
Yeah.
So it's like complete massive change where it's like, oh, I need to get an operator to do that.
Yeah.
So remember, like, sorry, I was just saying, remember, like, the series?
Yeah.
They showed on the trailer. They get the miners.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we need a couple of men to go in there, like.
Yeah.
And they know that they're going to send those miners to death, no matter what.
Yeah.
And they don't tell them that, do they?
No, they don't, but they force it out of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, just to tell us what for is, like, you'll be saving, like, thousands of lives.
Yeah, you'd be heroes.
And they do, yeah.
They had to go down, remember, and they got the suits on, and then the thing's going off, and they go out to turn off, like, the bulb.
To
release the water and stuff,
There's
better containment now, so multiple robust containment barriers around the core to prevent releases, even in extreme accidents.
Yeah.
Severe accident management, so emergency plans now account for multi-reactor events, extreme weather, and loss of all power. Digital information, so there's more reliable sensors nowadays and control systems that remain functional in high radiation environments.
Yeah.
As we said, there's more, like, defenses now for earthquakes and floods and stuff. And there's small modular reactors, so new designs use smaller cores. Underground containment and passive cooling to reduce the risk. So it's such a big
horn. Thing. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what led me on to them was the last thing I remembered. Pripyat, Ukraine.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before, we're gamers. And
oh, we are.
Arguably, it is mine, 100%, one of the best single player missions, campaign missions.
It is the best.
Of any game, I think.
All geared up.
Right, you come in, you're there, you're young, you're a young Captain Price, aren't you?
Captain Price, or are you Soap?
Bruce Price, isn't it? Because he's fat. Yeah, the Soap's older, yeah.
Is that?
I'm pretty sure. He says.
Oh,
I'm going to be getting slated, yeah?
You carry on, I'll research this.
You research it, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, you go back in time, and I remember you're all geared up, you've got your snipers, and your mission is to try and get to the tower, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You've got to go through and sneak through, trying to get to the tower. You get up there, you take a shot on the enemy, which I can't remember his name, but the Russian enemy in it, like, you take the shot on him.
It's not Makarov, is it?
No, Makarov was like Modern Warfare 2, when they do, like, the airport scene, which is...
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name. You'll tell me in a minute. Zakayev?
Zakayev.
Was it Zakayev?
Yeah, I think so. John Price, you are.
Yeah, you're Price, yeah. And it's Zakayev in it. I think it is. It might be. Anyway, you get to the tower.
Zakayev.
I remember that. And you said that. You get to the tower, you get to the top, you take the shot, which, remember that? And, like, you got to wait for the flag. It was like, because obviously it's 2007.
Yeah.
So you got to wait for the flag.
Yeah.
And you take the shot, and it goes like, so it shoots his arm off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
then obviously, oh my God, they know where we are.
And it is, and you're, honestly.
The guy you're with is injured, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got to like, carry him,
cover him,
pull him, drag him.
Turn around, like, scrap.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get to the Ferris wheel pit.
Yeah.
Waiting for your evacuation.
And it's like, poof, poof,
and it's, poof. People coming in. And then head about finding
God. On the best. Honestly.
But in terms of, like, games get quite an bad rep sometimes, like we said before, haven't we? Like, for other reasons.
Yeah.
But the actual, the detail that these companies go to.
Oh, it is like to recreate you're there.
Things. It, yeah. Well,
it's, and it's like you're there.
Yeah, not, and it's not just Call of Duty. There's other games like Battlefield or everyone's. But when they recreate, when they recreate real places, they do it right. They do the research. They map it out. And
yeah, they do.
I think it was quite good because it kind of, that probably brought, like, for us back then, like, I didn't really think about Chernobyl at the time or
Not. But then after, you're like, oh, was this a real place? Oh my God, yeah, it was.
Yeah, wow, yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
And millions bought that game. Millions.
So it had a big impact. And,
it did.
And educating people at the same
time. It did.
In terms of it.
It did.
That was pretty much my last one on the Chernobyl thing.
Yeah, I think, well, we spoke quite a lot about it. I mean, obviously, we're not experts on anything we talk about, but it interests us.
I tried to find the most simplest way of explaining it.
Yeah.
Because obviously, there's a lot more science and
obviously, terminology. Not a lot of people are going to want to look at that.
No.
But hopefully, it might get you to have a look at the series or have a look at something.
Or your thoughts on it. Like, you know, if you have seen the series, did you think it was one of the best series of all time?
I mean, it's, I don't see how you can't.
No.
It's rated phenomenal.
Yeah. And even your thoughts. I mean, like, if... All right, I'll pose it to you. So, it's hard to say. If I said to you now, if there was a reactor, I don't know, a couple miles that way, feel like it, or whatever it was, and it blew up now, what would you do?
It'd gone.
Yeah.
I'm not risking the kids. No. Or lids.
But that's because you know the knowledge. I'm trying to think, back in 1986... They were like, oh, it's just a fire.
Yeah, you will wait until you hear the sirens to evacuate, aren't you? You're just going to think it's a fire.
Yeah.
They do what all they did, and then you'd be gone.
Oh. So they had no chance, really.
Yeah, they had no chance. Well, like you said, not a lot have died from it, considering the population that was there.
No, that's true, yeah.
So, yeah. No, yeah, with the knowledge now, be gone.
Yeah, with the knowledge now, yeah, they're gone, 100%.
Yeah. Down to sunny Cornwall. Yes.
Yeah. So that was it, really. That was
our Chernobyl episode.
Chernobyl, yeah.
We like doing stuff like this. Like what was the other one we did a couple of weeks ago? Emperors or something? What was there? We've done something else like this. The worst year in history.
The worst year in history.
We like doing stuff like that, like just going over historic stuff.
Yeah, we quite good, like a bit of history and recreation of history.
Yeah.
And events and battles and other things and stuff and all that, which we'll get into a few more things down the line.
Yeah, and if there's anything you want us to talk about or go over with our high intellectual interest, let us know.
Just hear our thoughts, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Be good.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I think that's it, really. Before we sign off, just remember to like, follow, subscribe us.
Like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff.
And any support helps us. If you want to buy us a coffee, check out our link for that as well.
More stuff is on the way, as we always say. We're constantly improving the podcast, improving our content, improving the stuff that we're going to be bringing to you. And eventually, it's going to be a streamlined thing with multiple stuff that we want to do. But we're on the road to it.
Yeah, 100%. Like we said from the beginning, we want to just, this whole
journey
for us is not only, like I said, we enjoy doing this anyway ourselves and spending time with each other, is being an outlet for men and for anyone, really.
Yeah, anyone.
Just to relate to us, like, you know, we're two blokes having a pint and chatting about a lot of different things.
Just talking about
doing stuff, yeah.
But I guarantee you there'll be times where you're like, oh, do you know what, I'd really love to just have a conversation about so-and-so, and that's just what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to reach out to us.
Yeah. And on that note, we will see you on the next one.
Cheerio. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.